Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Hey, how y'all doing this morning? Amen. Let's wake up. Goodness gracious, after music like that, how can you be quiet? Makes you want to just jump up and down, don't it? I tell you what, the Lord has really blessed us here at Common Ground. I got to talking to a friend of mine. He's a fellow pastor, and I was telling him about these great lights that we had installed here at the church and how hard everybody worked and how easy it all came about. And he goes, man, I tell you, y'all must really be blessed. He said, because it didn't work out that good for us. I said, really? I said, why? He said, you know, everything is on consensus in a cowboy church. And he says, you know, one of the guys says, I think we ought to buy a chandelier for our church. And one of the other guys said, oh, I second that. He says, all right, all in favor, all who's in accordance to that. And this other guy in the back said, whoa, wait a minute. Not too fast. I got a problem with that. We all got to agree. We all got to have consensus. And he goes, okay, brother. He says, what have you got against a chandelier? He said, two things. He says, first off, he says, we don't even know how to spell that word chandelier. He says, okay. He said, well, we can take care of that. He said, well, what's your other? He said, and most important, he said, the first thing we need is some lights around here. Yeah, that's about the reaction he got from me. You know, today's message is a message that when the Lord started giving it to me, it just felt really, really comfortable, really easy for it to come about and for me to get it down. And it's going to be, we're going to talk about in 1 John, it's going to be 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 16. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 16. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit, kind of set this scenario up. You know, today we live in a society where the world is constantly trying to change us and make us be like everybody else. Cowboys are the one group of guys and women that I can think of that through time have drugged their feet and refused to change. They have refused to come what I call into the 21st century. Let's look at cowboys. First off, they like to ride horses. Okay? They have to have horses. They use horses. They love to ride them. They use them to check fences. They use them to check their cows. They use them to catch and doctor them. They use them for a lot of things. You know, in the world, more and more wants you to use other things besides horses, like four-wheelers, trucks, and helicopters, and all kind of stuff to work cows. But cowboys have always been stubborn. They've been slow to do anything different than the way they've always done it. If they can incorporate into what they're already doing, and it doesn't look like it's changing a whole lot there, they'll try it. They'll go after it. But mostly, if you think about it, they've always dressed the same. Cowboy hats, jeans, and jeans. I tell you what, don't you hate new jeans? Cowboys hate new jeans. I don't know about y'all, but they're scratchy and they don't fit right, especially when you're in the saddle. So they normally like stuff that's already broke in, like a good saddle. Something that they feel comfortable in. They don't really like change. How many of y'all really like change? Raise your hand. It's not good. Change is not good for a lot of folks. But every day, the cowboy still gets up and he still does the same thing he's done. For the last 100 years, they have not changed. But this world, though, this world is changing rapidly, and they're always trying to get us to be like them. to change the way we think, to change the way we act. Christians who are faithful to the ways of the Bible should resist change, just like the cowboy resists changing. In 1 John, let's look in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. Let's read that. 2, 15 through 17. Do not love this world. This is the Lord talking, Jesus talking to John. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. You know, I started studying this first verse in 15 and 16 and 17, and I got to looking at it, and I thought, well, it's talking about material things. But after more and more study, God revealed to me that it's not talking about trucks, trailers, things of that nature, or things that you can accumulate in this world. It's talking about spiritual things, not material. But the invisible, Satan-controlled spiritual system that he set up here on earth. That's the only way I could think to say it. That Satan controls the spirituality of this earth. Everything this world offers is in opposition to God, His Word, and us as His people. That's what the first part of verse 1 was talking about when it said, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For you love, when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. In the second part, it says that when you love the world, you don't have the love of the Father in you. It says to me, there's no middle ground for us as Christians. There's no fence for us to sit on. There's just absolutely, in the area of the world, you're either for God or you're for the world. You can't do both as a Christian, because God is opposed to the world and the world is opposed to God. So anybody that sits in the middle is going to get squashed. Think about it. They're not on either side. They're not on God's side, and they're really not on the Lord's side. Let's look at verse 16. It says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. You know, Satan uses this world and the things in it to incite us, our desires in our life, to wake up desires, evil desires, wrong desires in our heart. And it tempts us and it draws us to the world like a, you know how a spider makes a web and he's just sitting there waiting for something to, he wants to be, for you to be sucked into it. He wants you to be attached to it. That's the way the world is doing to Christians today. They're putting out this big giant web through the media, through television, through everything you want to see on the air, to the news that you read everywhere. It's all patterned to draw you in to the web. And I'm not talking about the internet web. I'm talking about an evil net that this world has put out to catch us as believers. It tempts us, it draws us into it, and the thing that's so bad about it is it really does look good to us. Think about it. Some of the things that you see on TV, you go, you know, I like, I, I probably wouldn't mind like being part of that. Because the devil knows what button to push and what to use to draw us into that system of evil and immorality. This world, number one, is the enemy of every Christian because it rebels against God and denies His existence. Have you ever thought about it? Every time you turn around on the news, they're always trying to talk about, well, the Bible's not real, God's not real, there's more than one way to heaven, there is no heaven, there is no hell. They're constantly changing and constantly trying to destroy. They want to take "In God We Trust" off the dollar bill. They want to take it off of all the buildings. They don't want you to pray in school. You see what I'm talking about? This world is against the very God we serve. Against God. They're against Jesus. They're against salvation. They are against you and me. Let's look at verse 17. It says, "And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." You know, to me, after reading these verses, kind of putting it in cowboy terms, it's kind of like this. This world is eating itself up. It's destroying itself. It's kind of like you see something that's going down and you can see it and you can see what's at the bottom. There's nothing but death and destruction at the bottom, but they're just steadily in a downward spiral heading towards it. And this world is eating itself alive. And it's starting to stink in my imagination, the way I think about it. This world is starting to stink. It should be a stench in all of our nostrils, what is happening, not only in the United States, but everywhere. We live in the United States and everything. We have freedom for this and freedom for that. But if the world keeps going like it's going, how long do you think we can keep that freedom? The freedom to worship, the freedom to pray. Not long, folks, not long. Not long at all. But this world, according to the Scripture, is temporary. It says it right here in the Scripture. This world is fading away in verse 17. Along with everything that people are craving nowadays. It's going down the tubes with it. It's headed for certain destruction. I had a preacher friend say this, and he said, "When I preach on this, this is one of the first things. It always shocks everybody when I say it." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "This world is going to hell in a handbasket." And I said, "Oh, yeah, I guess that would be." He said, "But you think about it, it's true. This world is going to hell. And they're going there fast. And some of them are already there. They're in a living hell here on earth." I hope, I pray that the folks in this area are starting to see what's going on and will start resisting and dragging their feet, kicking and screaming, going the other direction instead of the direction with everybody else, because the majority of the people in this world are going that way. They're going with Satan. The second part of that verse, in verse 17, it says, "But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." Because, folks, we have Christ. Because we have Jesus in our lives. Listen now, because we have Him, we'll be able to live forever with God in heaven. Eternity is ours with Jesus. So which would you rather have? Would you rather have eternity with Jesus or would you rather have eternity with this world in hell? Don't listen to the world. Don't let the immoral view that this world has taint you and drag you down and pull you or suck you into Satan's web. Be unchanged by it. Don't let it change you. That's the one thing I love about seeing cowboys and the way that they live and cowgirls is they do not hardly ever change. They keep doing everything the same way that they did it. They perfect what they do, but they're doing it the way it's always been done. This world, if you took a cowboy today and you let the world take that cowboy and do with them what they would want to do, what would they do? What would that cowboy look like? Would he be honest? No. Would he be a good man? No. Would he be faithful? No. What would he be? He would be a murderer. He would be anything you can imagine that is bad in this world. And it's terrible what the world can do. Do I need to stop so you can turn that sucker off? Tell them to turn it on and let them listen. They need to hear this too. They would do to this world. You look what Hollywood does to the cowboy in the westerns that they show today. They make them homosexuals. They make them everything you can imagine. They downgrade what a cowboy is. But you know what? They downgrade what a Christian is. A Christian is always a bad guy. A Christian is always one of those preachers that talks out of both sides of his mouth. He's a murderer or he's a rapist or he's something bad. He's something evil. That's the way the world really sees Christianity. That's the way the world sees us. Because why? Because we are their enemy. Because they hate God. With God on our side, though, folks, I tell you, what we can do in this world is going to be amazing. From here on, it is going to just electrify this world. We are the salt that keeps this world tasting good. Did you know that? How many of you like meat without salt on it? How do you like any food without any seasoning in it? Oh, don't say that. I know you really like it. I know you do. How many of you love to have seasoning on your food? You've been to the hospital and you've tasted it and they don't put nothing in it. It doesn't taste like anything. It's just in your mouth and you're going, well, I might be eating something and it might be good for me, but boy, does it stink. It doesn't taste like nothing. It has no flavor. You are the flavor of this community. Without you, this community would not look like anything like it does now. Without God and without God in you, you are what makes Common Ground, Bremont, Cossey, Calvert, every town around here, you are what makes this countryside appealing. And God is pleased with you because He uses you and He can use you in this world. The things of this world are going to pass away, and they're passing away faster than you can think about it. But the love of God Himself never, ever dies. God is going to outlive this world, y'all. Like the cowboy who resists coming into the 21st century, dragging his feet, hollering, not wanting to change, so should we resist the world that Satan has made here. Because in my estimation, and according to the Scripture, we should push the world away and draw closer to God. Because His way is the best way. God's way is perfect. By doing it God's way, we can get to be with Him forever and be loved by Him. That's the number one thing that everybody wants, is to be loved, isn't it? I don't care how much money you've got. I don't care how rich you are. If you don't have love, you're going to be miserable. We all seek to be accepted. We all seek to be loved in our heart. That warm feeling, that arm around us that holds us and says, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter how you act, I love you. That's God. He loves you. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, even when you say you're mad at God and you holler at Him and go, man, why did you do this to me today? He still loves you unconditionally. Do you think the world loves you? No. They want you to be destroyed. They do not even want you to exist in this world. Because as long as you're there, Paul talks about, he prayed for this. He had a thorn in his flesh that constantly bothered him. Scripture doesn't really say what it is, but it was something that always nagged him. It was some kind of probably an ailment in his body. But he had prayed, God, take it away from me. But God never, ever took it from him. He had it for the rest of his life. Why? Because one thing, it caused him to rely on God and to God work through him. That is where we as Christians have it over everybody else, because God empowers us. When we pray and ask God to do things for us, through us, and to let things happen, He does it. Not for the world. We can spend eternity with God and Him loving us. Man, that's something that I really, really look forward to, is spending quality time with God. I can only spend so much time in the Bible. I can only spend so much time in prayer. You can only spend so much time with your wife. You can only spend so much time with your loved ones. But when you're with them and you're being loved, that feeling, that total involvement in your life when you're completely saturated in love, has got to be the best thing that's ever existed for us. I wish that for every person in this area. I wish that for every one of y'all. If you do not know God this morning, please do not leave this building, because God loved you enough to send His Son to die on the cross for you. Amen. I've said it many times, what kind of God could send His Son, somebody that He loved and cherished, to die for someone else? But that's what He did. We forget about also, I talked about this Wednesday night, we forget about Jesus. What kind of man would give up his life for someone else? That's what Jesus did. Because Jesus could have said no. What kind of man must Jesus be that He would die for me? For all my wretchedness, for all the sins I've committed in my lifetime and am going to commit in the future. What kind of man must Jesus be? What kind of God must Jesus be? A God that loves you, a God that loves me. So push the world away. Resist it. Don't be sucked in by the web that they have set for you and me. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You, Lord, that You were here this morning. I felt the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, in the worship. I felt the Holy Spirit in the message. Father, I just thank You that You were here speaking this morning. I pray, Father, that folks heard Your message in spite of me. In the mild and bad way that I present it, Father, I pray that, God, that You still projected Yourself, that the message got out to each and every one of the folks that are here today to hear it, heard what you wanted to say just to them, speaking just to them. I pray, Father, that it would change our eyes, it would change our hearts, the way we see, the way we act, the way we love each other, and the way that we love you, God. And if there's someone here that doesn't know you, Father, that they would not leave before they receive that free gift that you have for them, that free gift of love and that free gift of salvation. I just thank you for your many blessings. Just be with the sick of our church, Lord, as we are, I feel like, Lord, we're under attack with all the different ailments and things that people are going through of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I ask for a hedge of protection around Common Ground and all of its members, Father, that you would just heal them, heal their bodies, bring them back into your service, Lord, so they could better serve you. Bring those that are out, that are lost, that are wandering this area, Father, that they're supposed to be here today to hear your word. I pray, Father, that you would reach out and touch their hearts and bring them back into your fold. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Well, if you are visiting with us this morning here at Common Ground, we want to say welcome. We're so glad you're here with us. We love to have visitors. We love to have folks to come and share in the gospel presentation, to share in the singing, to share in the preaching, and to share not only that, but to share in our fellowship with you. Because this is a loving church. This is a church that wants you here. And we were glad that you're here with us this morning. If you are a first-time visitor you'd like to join the church, you'd like to know more about church, we've got a slip in the back. It's green. Go out and pick that up, and you can fill it out, and you can join the church. You can start being part of the fellowship. You can put your prayer request right there on that thing. You can request membership. You can request prayers. And if you do have a prayer, maybe you don't want anyone to know what it is. Maybe you really don't want anyone to call you. Just put on there that it's unspoken, and we will pray for you if you say you have an unspoken prayer request this morning. Something that you don't want anyone else to know but just God, and that's okay. We're all right with that, but we will pray for you. But if you want us to pray for you, if we don't know about it, we can't pray, so you need to write it down. And also, we got a can back there for our offering. We don't pass a hat around here. We're not really looking for your money. That's between you and God as to what you give. But according to the Scripture, we are commanded to give. So do what God tells you to do and be faithful in that area also in your life. Are the kids ready to come down? All right. Thank you. I hope y'all have a blessed day.